be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good singing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the songs this morning. Got a mission flavor. I don't know if you noticed that, but appreciate that. And we're going to go ahead and have Brother Cox come now. And Brother Cox has been our missionary down in Venezuela since done deputation way back in...
Seven years.
All right. So, Brother Cox, you preach. We're going to lay on your heart, and the Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for having us here today and having us come and be able to share with you the news and what's been going on over the last 7 years with us and with our family. And we're very thankful for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. So, yes, my name is Justin Cox. My wife is Evelyn. And we have two boys. Right now we have Matthias, and he is 4 years old, and Nehemiah, who is 3 years old. And so we'll see what happens in the future. But right now we just have the two boys, and we're very thankful for that. And we are church planting medical missionaries reaching the Venezuelan people. And so we started our first church plant down there in the city of Bucaramanga, right on the Venezuelan border. And but, you know, when you're a church planting missionary, you plant churches wherever you are. If I was here in America, I'd plant churches here. If I'm in Colombia, I'll plant churches there. If I'm in Venezuela, I'll plant churches there. And so that's the goal of a church planting missionary, is that we just start churches, right? And it's the same goal as a person who wins souls. We try to win souls wherever we are. We try to win souls in America and in on airplanes, on buses, on everywhere, right? And we just try to witness to people wherever we are. And it's the same way. So we are also medical missionaries. My wife is a critical care nurse. She has an expanded role outside of the United States that's closer to a family nurse practitioner. Helps with medications and things like that. And then I'm an EMT. And so we work and help the people in our church, and then also with medical missions outreach there. As you saw, she's been to Honduras, Peru, many different places. Most of that was before we got married, and now we're just focused on reaching Venezuelan people. Remember before I said that 30% of all Venezuelans have left the country of Venezuela. So literally almost 12 million of them are gone, and all over the rest of the world right now. So they are displaced, and they need some help, and we are trying to reach them wherever they are. And God touched my heart with that. So here we are. We are in Acts chapter 14. We'll read verses 1 through 7. In this passage, Paul and Barnabas travel to Iconium to preach the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. And when the Holy Spirit leads them there and they get there, they're met with opposition, or met with trials, with a pushback from the people. Let's jump in. Let's start at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Verse 3, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." And verse 7, "And there they preached the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the only way that we possibly can, to thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for the weather today. Thank you for the safe travels today, Lord. Thank you for an opportunity to spend time with you. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak through me unto the hearts of your people, that your message would be clear, and help us to not just be challenged today, but be changed. And we ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Point number one this morning is the work of the believer. Someone must go. Someone must go, right? There is a go, co, and no missions, basically, right? There's those who go, there's those who help, and then there's those who do nothing, right? So there's go, co, and no missions. But here in our passage, we see that they went. They went. Somebody must go. Those that are willing, we often say, there's those that are willing to give it all, and there's those that are willing to let them, right? They're just I'm going to go to Venezuela. Okay, good luck, brother. Good luck. Good luck. I ain't going over there. I'm going to get shot and killed. I don't want to go over there. You know, my friend Stephen Terrell, when he was in Iraq, you know, he went to Iraq. And he said, I'm going to Iraq. And people are like, I'm not going over there. But he did go over there, didn't he? And he gave his life. And praise the Lord for his work and his ministry and his dedication that he gave to the 11 years that he was there working with the Muslim people until they killed him. And so praise the Lord for that, you know. But we have a calling, we have a duty, a duty to go and tell people about Christ. And so they went. We get the privilege to go and reach Venezuelans, and we're very thankful for that. That we get the idea, the opportunity to go. I originally was going to go to the country of Venezuela, but then the people started leaving Venezuela, so I followed the people, chased them down, so I could witness to them, right? With the gospel of Jesus Christ, and praise the Lord for that. And they are very open on the border. They are very open there. And so as they get through the military checkpoints in Venezuela, every military checkpoint is not under command above it. So because the economy collapsed, they're just kind of out there doing their own thing. So you get to a checkpoint, and then they open your suitcases. The military takes whatever they want out from the people, and then they zip up your suitcase, and you're just on your way. So by the time people get to the border to finally cross over into Colombia, they don't have much left except some clothes. And so that's kind of the case. And so luckily, praise the Lord, we get to be right there and help them at that moment in their life when they need it most. And there's so many stories that we talk to people about, that we work with people, and they came with nothing, absolutely nothing. And they had to find a way to work or get money and work from the bottom all over again. Some of these people are doctors. My friend Rennie was an engineer. He was an engineer in Venezuela, and you know, they're not uneducated people. They just, I mean, we have people who are physicians. I know this one lady, she's a physician doing street work, working on the streets, doing things that we all, that we know what that means. So they're out there, she's working on streets and doing things that she would never have thought of doing before, but she can't make any money, can't feed her family. So she's doing whatever she can to feed her family, even though that in Venezuela she's a physician. Well, we can only imagine. So that so that's what's going on there. But they went and they applied themselves. They went. The next thing is they applied themselves, right? Under point number one, they applied themselves. They didn't just go and stand around and do nothing. They went and they applied themselves. God has blessed my family, me and my wife, with many talents that I get to use for the Lord. I know painting, construction, accounting. I went to college for business before theology. I was a quality engineer for 8 years for the auto industry. I built cars. I built the Ford Explorer. That was my car from 2008 to 2016. So all the parts on the bottom of that car, I personally approved before they left Lexmar in Boyne City, Michigan. That was my job. And then so when I met my wife, I decided to quit my job as an engineer. My wife was working at Millard Fillmore in Buffalo, and she quit her job as a nurse, and we went full-time missions. And so praise the Lord for that. They didn't just go and apply themselves, right? But they went together. They went together. We see in verse 1 of our text, flip back here, that they went together, right? So And it came to pass in Iconium that they went. We know that they went, right? Both. They went together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. And that's how we know that they did something, because they so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Gentiles, believed. You know, working together is biblical. The disciples, the apostles, they went out two by two. In modern day missions, things are a little bit different than the old days. The days of a guy going out and getting on a ship and not returning for the rest of his life, 40, 50 years later, if he gets to return, those days have changed a lot, right? Transportation has changed a lot. I can fly from Fort Lauderdale to the mountains of Bucaramanga, because we're in the mountains, we're 4,000 feet above sea level, all right? Now, for a lady, that means that you have to cook different. Your oven does not work the same at 4,000 feet above sea level as it does here. So, and he said, what if you're a man? Well, good luck, because it's really bad, okay? You, like, go to make some cookies or brownies, you do what the instructions say, and they don't even, they won't cook through. Cake won't cook through, because the elevation is different. And there's a bunch of things you have to change in your life, because of just that fact. But from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to the mountains of Bucaramanga, there's a direct flight that takes 3.5 hours. That's it. I can fly right down to Florida, reboard a plane, and fly directly in for that. So it's a completely different world than it used to be. If I was to fly something like Delta Airlines all the way down, it takes me all the way to Bogota, the capital of Colombia. Then I have to spend the night and then fly all the way back up to the border. We did that the first time. Slept on the floor in the airport, because that's what you do as a missionary. And praise the Lord for that. But we did it. We went down there. We did all that. And then I decided that God would lead us to spend $100 more and not do that and fly directly in, right? That's what you do. You get smarter, right? You ask people, hey, what do you do for this? But they work together. God has blessed my family with the ability and the privilege to work with Aaron Vance, who's in Colombia right now. He's on the Colombian side of the border. We get to work with him. We get to work with Pastor Jerry Alfred in Maracay, Venezuela, who started 16 churches up there. And these people have been doing this for a while. Aaron has started 3 churches, Pastor Jerry 16 churches, and so we don't have to go through, hopefully, all the heartache that they went through when they got to the field, right? Pastor Jerry's been there 38 years. He served there by himself for 38 years, him and his wife Barbara. And she's having some more medical problems now because they're getting up there in age, close to 70 or 71, I think he is now. But getting up there. Oh, I'm sorry. He's in his 60s. He'll watch this message later and be like, what are you talking about? but he's in his 60s. I think he's like 64, 65. He is having some medical problems, though, you know? And so just needs basic medications, right? Just needs some basic medications. But you can't get those in Venezuela. Like I said, you can't get medication for high blood pressure. You can't get Tylenol. You can't get ibuprofen. Things that we use every day for inflammation or something simple. Can't get it. It's not available. So those things are a problem. But they work together. We get to work with Pastor Aaron Vance and Brother Aaron Vance, and we're excited about that. Learning simple things. And when I wanted to go to Venezuela and Colombia, they're very similar in their government system. You have to have a sponsor, just like the United States. Got to have a sponsor. Somebody has to sponsor you, the person, to come into the country. And so we got an apartment. When I went down there to get an apartment right on the border, I went down there. I got my friend Rennie, who's Venezuelan. Venezuelans helped me with everything. Our pastor, our national pastor on the Colombian side of the border, Pastor Jose Pineda, he is Venezuelan. Our assistant pastor's family is Venezuelan. We have tons of pastors that are coming in from Venezuela whose church is completely closed. The people left the country, so there was no church left, and the pastors couldn't feed anybody, so they left as well. They couldn't provide for their own family. So they're coming into Columbia, into our team, and then we have to check with them, make sure they're the right doctor and they believe the right things, and then they stay with us about a year. And now we're planting churches all over Columbia. It's like so weird. As all Venezuelans, we're just a team of Venezuelan people just out there just planting churches all across Columbia, and that's kind of going on right now. So our goal is hopefully by the end of 2024 is to start another church in the other southern part of the city, Giron, and start a church down there. They don't have a church. They don't have a church. So we started one in Cafe Madrid. Does not have a church. We started, Pastor Aaron, Brother Aaron, started two in Bucaramanga. One in the north, one in the south. Did not have any churches. You said, well, what Baptist church did they have in there? None. What church did they have to preach the gospel? They had one evangelical church that doesn't really preach the gospel. Doesn't. I mean, we know, because I'm like, well, how do you find that out? You go. Just go. Sit in the church. Find out. Hey, like, do these people preach the gospel? What is going on? And then those people, we get some people from that church who want to learn the Bible, because they want to get in-depth Bible studies, learn the Bible, right? Learn about things. And they come, and then a lot of people come from the city. The city of Bucaramanga has about 250,000 people in it, and it has, on top of that, 40,000 or more Venezuelans in it. So, to give you an idea, that's a lot. That's one out of every six people is a Venezuelan. So that's a lot of people there, okay? But we get to work with Brother Aaron. And as it says here, they got to work together, Paul and Barnabas here in Iconium, in our text. All right, so one, someone must go, the work of the believer, right? Point number two, the focus of the believer. The focus of the believer. I'm just going to walk down the verses here. Number one was verse one. Number two is verse two. All right? And the focus of the believer. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know, religious people are always going to stir up problems. I don't know why. Down there in South America, many of you know, it's probably very Roman Catholic. All right? Lucky for me, my dad was Roman Catholic. He was an altar boy, and my father's side of the family was very Roman Catholic, so I know a lot about Roman Catholics. And but down there, we get to witness to people who know a lot about Catholicism. We get to see the idols in the mountains. You go up in the mountain pass, like you're just going up the road, and you'll go up on top of one of the higher hills, and you'll see a big, like, built statue thing up there that somebody built to, I don't know, worship Mother Mary. And they just got this thing up there like the Old Testament with David. And I'm like, we should just go by and blow all those up. Like, just strap some dynamite to it. Just level them. And then we could do that. But, you know, then people get all emotional. And they're like, oh, we'll give money to rebuild them. No, I don't want to do that. So, not our church, but other people in town, you know. And I once said if I was ever called to Europe, I would find the biggest cathedral in town and I'd burn it to the ground. And then you know, because I said that people have to wake up. They wouldn't wake up, right? The world around us, they're asleep. They're just like in this thing. They got to wake up to what's going on. I'd even put a big sign up there. We're going to have a burning party. And then I would just literally light the whole thing on fire. And, well, like 2 years later, if you remember, the Notre Dame Cathedral lit on fire in Europe. And then people from all over the world gave billions to fix it, even though insurance paid for it. It was funny. Anyway, I was like, whoa, yeah, see? But Proverbs 29:9 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. You know, it's important that we say keep the main thing the main thing. It's important that we're there to reach their soul. When you're out soul winning, like Pastor was saying, you know, some people are mean, some people are rude, but like Jesus Christ said, right? They don't know. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't know what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They're out there, and like you know, they have that moment where they're like, I don't know why you're out here. And then you're like, but wait a minute, why are you out here? How can you even be out here? That's the right question. Why did the founders put in the Constitution that I have the right to do this? If you can answer that question, it'll change your entire mindset on why you should listen to me. So it's important. That's why we live in America. You know, point number three, the determination of the believer in verse three in our text. Let's look at it. It says, long time, therefore, abode and abide. Those are great words in the Bible. Abode, they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony. unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You know, I've read this many times. I didn't see this. But it says, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. How often do people look at your life or look at your testimony and see the grace of God? Not if you're telling somebody about your testimony, but if somebody just knows about you. How much are you talking to other people about the grace of God? How much are you literally going out there and talking to people about it? Like, hey, listen, God has blessed me this way. God has blessed me that way. Instead of being negative, instead of talking in a negative fashion, every time somebody brings up your name, they should know something about, wow, you know, I don't know, but God seems to bless those people. Because you're talking about the grace of God. Not in an arrogant way, but just the fact that God's testimony is grace and your testimony should be grace. All right? Unto the word of his grace. His grace. God has blessed me in so many ways. I grew up in a broken home. And I'm here today. God gave me a great wife that I don't deserve. I'm not wealthy, but all of our bills are paid at the moment. You know, we're blessed with children. I know some people who are women who are barren who can't have kids. They physically can't have them. We get to have children. I'm very thankful for that. You know, the lights are on. We have our apartment. In our apartment, the lights are on and our bills are paid. If Juan paid them this week, yes. That's the national there. That's who paying my bills. Well, I'm not there at the moment. Yeah, so if Juan paid them, that's fine. But, you know, God's been really good to us. And, you know, I want you to know that God uses people to help people. God uses people to help people. I'll flip over here real quick. Hold your place there because that's our text. Job 42:11. Job 42:11. I want to show you this real quick. This is interesting. In the book of Job, it's right before Psalms. Job, Psalms. Right before Psalms. Job 42. Okay. In Job 42... I want you to see this because we always say in the book, in the story of Job, oh, Job ended up at the end of his life with twice as much as he started with. So as somehow that's a justification for all the suffering he went through because nobody would say that who had to live it. But in the end, he did end up with twice as much as he started with. That's true, Job. But how did he get this twice as much? How did he get that? Because God didn't just bring it down on some silver platter from heaven. That's what people don't understand. That's not how God works, right? In verse 11, we see that it's the people around Job who end up helping Job. In verse 11, then it came there unto him, that's unto Job, all his brethren and all his sisters, and they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Remember, in this text, they were like, oh, the Lord's just making you suffer. But, you know, we saw that it was God's mercy in the end. Every man also gave him a piece of money. Notice that. And everyone an earring of gold. And that verse is how Job ended up with twice as much at the end of his life from the beginning. And what I want you to see there is that God uses people to help people. That's why God chose to use missions through people. When you give to missions, that's how it works. That's God's plan. God doesn't just make money appear out of thin air or make things appear out of thin air. That money goes, now all of our money goes directly into our mission work, and it's really cool to see. Feeding those kids and writing that Bible study. Like I said, I just finished that lesson plan on addictions to help those people over there. And we have this girl, this woman, her name's Joanna, and in November, the second week, Joanna was in her mid-40s, she's in her mid-40s, and she got the first Bible that she's ever had in her entire life because you guys gave the missions. And we were able to get that Bible and give it to Joanna. Joanna's faithful to church every single week, her husband and both her kids. And that's because you give to missions. And that's the effect, right? Now you get to see the other end, which is really cool. It's not somebody who's going to the mission field. We're on the mission field. And the money that you give goes directly into the work. And it's really cool to see. But God has blessed us, right? We have food. In Venezuela, they have food and power rations. It's really interesting. That's just how they do it. And then this society dictates when you go to bed and when you get up. So in Venezuela, when I was there in 09, I was there in 13, and we were actually there last year, like I said, even though I'm not allowed to really talk about that because it's illegal to be in Venezuela. You do 2 years minimum prison sentence time if you get caught in Venezuela, okay? So, but that's just because you're an American. But when you go there, the power comes on at 6 a.m. You can take a shower, do everything you need for that day. And around 8, 9 o'clock at night, the power shuts off for the whole city. It just goes black. And the government does that to save electricity for some reason. And then the passports. Oh, you need a number every time you buy something. This is the same. It's the same on both sides of the border, Colombia, Venezuela. You go to buy a bag of chips. You go in a store, grab the chips. You have cash. You don't even have a card. You have cash. And you go up to the register. They're going to say, what's your number? What's your number? And that, for me, that's my passport number. They have to type that number into the register because the government tracks every transaction because they're communists. So that's how it works, right? We don't have that in America. We don't do that. He said, well, I don't have my number. Well, it doesn't matter if you have cash. You can't buy anything here. If the government can't track it, you're not allowed to have it. That's how it works. So it's different. I said, why do things like that? Why go through a place like that? Why give up your job and go and do these things? Because, friend, that we seek the souls of the lost. To seek the souls of the lost. What is the value of a soul? Number four, the opposition of the believer's mission, verses 4 and 5 in our text in the book of Acts. It says, but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when there was an assault, made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. There was a falling away, a division. They were split up. There will be opposition to the gospel being preached and souls being saved because the devil is real. He tempted Jesus Christ. Why do we think that he won't tempt us? The flesh is real. Our deadly, worldly, carnal flesh wants to hold on. A lot of that's realistically, what does that mean? That means the memories of our past, especially if we've done things in the past that were not godly, maybe before we got saved. Those things are in our head and they can be brought back up. Then hell is real, right? Nobody wants to face the fact that they might die and go to hell. They just don't. And lastly, today, our last point is the mission of the believer in verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, they were aware of it, that they were going to be stoned, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. They fled not because they were scared, but because the Holy Spirit led them. You know, like I said, I could go to Venezuela, but if all the people leave Venezuela, I'm just going to be sitting on a plot of grass going, Lord, what do you want me to do? There's nobody here to witness to, right? So I'm not called to a land, I'm called to a people group, and right now I have a burden for that people group to follow them and witness to them, right? And obviously I witness to Colombians too and everybody else who comes, doesn't matter who you are. But yes, we follow those Venezuelans and that's what we do. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That doesn't just mean preach unto those people, but teach them the Bible. That's one of the great failures of today, is that people preach to people, but they won't sit down and teach them. People do want to learn the Bible, many of them. They just don't want somebody yelling at them. And that's what we find. Verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. So they went into the streets and they preached the gospel, right? Luke 19, 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 10, 16 says, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. What is that? The regions beyond us. What is the regions beyond us? Well, that's how far I can reach physically. Everything beyond my fingertips needs the gospel. It's that simple. It's beyond me physically, needs the gospel. That's everybody else. That's what God said. So they went to teach and to preach the gospel. When a door closed in Iconium, it opened in Lystra and Derbe. And there is a wide open door leading to the mission field of the Venezuelan people. If you don't, I ask you today about missions and trying to make sure that we're doing what we can for missions. What does God want you to do with missions? Maybe God is putting on your heart today to do more for missions or to work in missions in a different way. And what doing more for missions does not always mean financially. God might put it on your heart to do more financially with missions. They talk about those three different ways to give. There's giving out of what you have. That would be like your paycheck. Giving out of maybe extra that you receive, like a tax return or a bonus from work or something, whatever God puts on your heart. And then there's raising money, which is giving out of things you don't have at all. Where I know churches who actually do like a car wash or a food drive or a candy bar thing or whatever, and they actually take that money for missions. They actually raise their missions money every year. It's really interesting. But people ask, like, what does it mean to do a little more for missions? Maybe that is writing letters to the missionaries. All those missionary letters up there, I bet they have email addresses on every single one of them, right? And I know, Pastor, I get yours. I think it's every month or something. I get a bunch of sermons from you. I just know about it because it just comes in and I see it. But maybe if you're a lady in this church and you say, well, I'm not going to give a bunch of money to missions, but I can write to these missionaries and encourage them about how God's working in my life and just put a note out there praying for you, whatever. You know, people ask, well, like doing what's a little bit more? Well, doing a little bit more is like when I'm eating Oreos and I get down to the end of the row and I have like four left and I'm like, I can do a little bit more. I can do a little bit more. No, the it's really not that much. Like I said, it's not always the fact that we have to give financially. There's many ways. They say the number one reason missionaries come off the field is because of discouragement. It's not because of money. It's because of discouragement. So those things are important, right? It's important to hand out gospel tracts, right? Like I see here, you guys got the new door hangers right here. These are beautiful, by the way. These look sharp. I like this. It looks really nice, got the globe here, and it looks really cool, man. I mean, this is great. There's a lot of ways to hand out gospel tracts. There's, you put them on cards, right? At the grocery store, you go down to the local grocery store, especially if you have a big day coming up or something, put them on the cards at the grocery store. Stand out on street corners, hand them out. And you can go door to door with church-wide soul winning or visitation. You can send them out in cards for the holidays or birthdays or whatever, right? You could do that. You put them on gas pumps, right? You pump gas. You can put it in the handle of the gas pump. You can do it that way. You can put them in public bathrooms, right? There's ways to do that. You can go to Walmart and literally be like a secret agent for Jesus Christ and say, I don't want to talk to anybody. Go to Walmart and take a gospel tract and stick it in every single piece of clothes pocket in Walmart. And when somebody buys those jeans or buys that jacket, they'll take home a gospel tract. Right? So you can put them in magazines. They don't do that anymore. They get mad about that. If you put them in magazines at Walmart, you put them in all the magazines. What are you doing? No, don't worry about it. But no, there's a lot of places, right? There's billboards, hotels. You ever go to like the mechanic's office? I mean, most local places have the local. Most mechanics, certain things in small towns. Mechanics, doctors, things like that. They have those boards in their town. Tells you what's in the town there. Like, oh, here's all the offices and stuff. You can stick it right on that board, that little cork board right there, right? Put on there an invitation to your church right there on the cork board. If you go to a hotel, any hotel in town, they're going to have a rack. That's going to have all the stuff to do locally. Visitation center has all the stuff to do locally, except go to church. Because churches don't put anything in there, even though it's free. You have the right to do that as a church. You can put them in there and just say, hey, listen, oh, you can go here and go kayaking, or you can visit this church if you're in town. Just some ways to hand out gospel tracts. Right? I think there's like 10 there or something. So I want to leave you with this question. Do your actions and behavior tell God that you love him? Do your actions and behavior tell God that you love him? You know, it's hard to hand out a gospel tract if we don't have any. It's hard to hand it out if you don't have it. But it's, you know, with my wife, I think often with my wife, you know, if I went to my wife and said, oh, you know, do you feel like I love you? If you ask my wife, does Justin love you? Well, she might say yes. But I don't just want her to say yes because I tell her that I love her. I want her to say that I love her because my actions show that I love her. And it's the same way with our God, right? We want to make sure that God knows that we love him, not just because we tell him that we love him, but that we show him that we love him. Do your actions and behavior tell God that you love him? Are you going to be a go missionary, a co-missionary, or a no missionary? The decision is yours. Let's pray. Father, we come before you through your Son, Jesus Christ, to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, this time of fellowship that we've had together, Lord, this time of just opening your word and literally learning and spending time with you and allowing you to guide our hearts and our thoughts and to teach us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would not just inspire us to go out and tell people about you, but that you would open the doors, Lord, that you would send the people to us, that this small town would be turned upside down, Lord, for you, and that the doors would open there, whether, Lord, it's through all avenues, Lord, I pray, would open for a situation of people coming to learn the gospel. Well, it's funerals in town, Lord, or it's weddings in town, or if it's just people out on the street, that you would give them a desire to come and ask questions and get to know about you and to learn of you so that way they can know you as a personal Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, and ask that you be with us today. Help us to stay safe today as we go out our homes, wherever we go after church, that we would just be safe and you get us there safely. In your Son's name I pray, Jesus Christ, amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Anyone have any questions? Again, let's go ahead and do a quick question and answer period. Anyone got any questions for our missionary here as Evelyn and the kids come on downstairs here again? And we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer with our missionaries.